Praise the Lord. So glad and so honored to be with you this morning. And just want to acknowledge Sister Donna is somewhere in the house. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here with you and with all of you. And I brought two people with me to support me. Tuck, my right-hand man, would you give him a little love this morning? Amen. Who happens to be a father? And my grandson, Kyle. He just happens to have the purest heart of anybody that I know. My grandson, Kyle. Praise the Lord. So, happy Father's Day! All the fathers in the house. It's a day to honor fathers. Amen. And a day for fathers to be reminded of their calling to fatherhood. Are you with me so far? Praise the Lord for that. So let's dive right into the word for the sake of time. I'd like to talk about fathers today in the book of Joshua, chapters 3 and 4. And let's just do a bird's eye view of those two chapters. And I pray that you all will all be blessed, both men, women, the kids are in the other room. But I do want to focus a little bit this morning on fathers. Praise the Lord. So I have 3 points. Let's begin with point number one, which is the past. Somebody say the past. You're allowed to talk back to me this morning, okay? Just interactive. So the past of the fathers of our past, let's take a look at that in these chapters. So let me just talk a little bit about summing this up for time's sake. What do we know about Joshua's chapter 3 and 4? Well, we know that the Ark of the Covenant was to pass on before the people. We also know that God would magnify Joshua in the sight of the people as the Lord was with Moses, so he would be with Joshua. We also know that the priest would carry the Ark to the Jordan River. We know that God was among them and would drive out the enemies. We also know that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bore the ark stepped foot in the Jordan River, that the waters stopped and they made a heap like the Red Sea, and the waters dried up and the people were able to cross over on dry ground. This is what we know from these chapters. We also know that the priest who bore the ark, they stood on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan River. And all of Israel passed on dry ground. We also know that 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, that's important, 12 men out of every tribe were celebrating Father's Day. Are you here? So far, thank you. Three people are here. They said, take with you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe. Now, the number 12 is a symbol of God's power and his authority, as well as a perfect governmental foundation. It appears 187 times in the Bible and 22 times in the book of Revelation, the number 12. There were 12 stones that were taken from the midst of the Jordan River, and they were taken out of there. And these 12 stones was that Israel was reminded of God's faithfulness, providence, and love. Every time they would look at those stones, they would be reminded of that. The 12 stones of remembrance are significant, not only for Israel, but also for us today. Are you here so far? We have been adopted, it also reminds us, into the eternal family of God. The stones were carried by the Israelites into the promised land as a physical reminder of God's faithfulness and divine providence. Bless his holy name today. We know that also in these two chapters that he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, "What mean you of these stones, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever?" You see, the fathers of the past, what can we learn from them? Here's what I think we can learn from them. That if we follow God as our Father, this is what happens. Following God will develop fatherhood. You see, Abraham followed God and he became the father to Israel. Moses followed God and became a father to Israel. And Joshua followed God and Moses, and he would become a father to Israel. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And when it says in the Bible there that when God began to magnify Joshua in the sight of the people, I believe one of the things he was trying to communicate to Joshua is, "I'm making you a father in the eyes of Israel." Hallelujah. Praise his name. I want to also talk to you about crossing over the Jordan. You see, God told Joshua to cross over to the Jordan. Crossing over the Jordan is about a journey. It's about a journey of crossing. Listen to the term crossing. I just want to focus on that for a moment. I'm talking about crossing that is carrying your cross. Crossing over the Jordan and just focusing on that word, crossing. I'm giving you a new word. You can write that down if you're taking notes. Crossing. Not just crossing physically over the Jordan, but crossing, learning how to carry your cross, learning about the cross, learning the significance of the cross, because as you carry your cross, it will develop the character of Christ in you, somebody. Is anybody here with a pulse this morning? I'm talking about a journey of discovering and learning and growing and becoming what God created you and me to become. Hallelujah. See, today, it's about developing us as fathers. Hallelujah. Yes, it's about crossing the Jordan River, but it's also about the significance of what is developing in us as we cross from one spiritual place to another. What does the ark have to do with this journey? Everything. What does the ark have to do? Everything. If you have your Bibles, would you look at Joshua chapter 3 with me, beginning in verse 3. Verse 1 says that Joshua rose up early in the morning. And verse 3 says, "And they commanded the people that when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from where you are and follow it." Joshua 3:3, follow the ark. What is the ark? It represents the presence of the Lord. Watch this. I want to show you what is within God's presence for you. Are you ready? Boy, that was weak, man. I'll give you another chance. Just hold on. What's in the ark? Three things. His word. But what about his word for you right now today? There's the Ten Commandments we know was inside the ark. But what about his commands for you personally? We know that there was a jar of bread. The bread was the manna that came down from heaven. But what about the bread, the daily bread for you? What about Aaron's rod that budded? That represents God's authority and God's leadership in your life. Watch this, resulting in a life marked by spiritual progress. Crossing over the Jordan is a mark of spiritual progress in the life of the nation of Israel. These items in the ark would represent the past ages of how the ancient church was taught, how they were fed, and how they were ruled. The ark becomes a bridge to cross over the Jordan River. Crossing the Jordan is significant to the fathers because the Father of Lights wants to illuminate the fact that God always, somebody say always, God always goes ahead of you. Hallelujah. See, are there any fathers in the house that have learned that if God does not go ahead of you, somebody, hello? You can be as strong as you want to be. You can be as smart as you want to be as fathers. You can have the most money as fathers. You can have all of that as fathers. But if God doesn't go ahead of you, point number two. First point was the past. The second point is the present. Following the Father God in our present will lead us into His presence. Following Father God in our present will lead us into His presence. David said it this way in Psalm 16, verse 8. He said, I do always set the Lord before me, and because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand, pleasure forevermore. You see, everything that is in the Ark of the Covenant is now in us. I want to say that again. Everything that was in the Ark of the Covenant of the Old Testament is now in us. Prove it. The Word says, let the Word of God dwell richly. We know that the Word was in the Ark. Let the Word of God dwell richly within you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. We know that the bread was in there. And in John 21, 17, three times Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. We know this. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus comes, the rod that Aaron, his rod budded, that meant it had life. And we know in John 10 that Jesus comes to give us life, help me out, and life more abundantly. You see, the New Testament ark, there's the Old Testament ark I just described, and then there's the ark of the New Testament. And I believe that the ark of the New Testament is Jesus. The person, He is the living ark. He is the embodiment of the ark. See, Jesus is the ark of God's covenant for us yesterday, today, and forever, always. His word, His way, and His will. His will lead us and will provide for us. His the way is the truth and the life. His word leads, His way provides, and His will brings us life, and life more abundantly. Point number one was the past. Point number two is the present. And point number three is the future. The future. What can we give to the fathers of our future? Come on, fathers. Fathers, what can we give to the fathers of the future? I tell you what we can give them. We can give them Jesus. We can give them Jesus. See, Jesus is the bridge. Joshua chapter 3, verse 11, if you're taking notes or you have your Bible. I know I don't have an overhead, but that's all right. We have God's word. That's our overhead today. Joshua 3:11 says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you, leading the way into the Jordan. It's the ark going ahead of us. Jesus always goes ahead of us. He's the bridge. You see, a bridge, what's the definition of a bridge? A bridge is a structure built to span a physical obstacle, such as a body of water, a valley, or a road, or a rail, without blocking the way underneath. It is constructed for the purpose of providing passage over the obstacle, which is usually something that is otherwise difficult or impossible to cross. Jesus is the bridge over the troubled water. Jesus is the bridge. I know Bridge City, when you were Hosanna back in the day, I remember, if anybody's here long enough, back in the day of Hosanna, when I first met you all, I know that you followed the bridge technique to lead people to Christ. Well, the bridge is still significant today. Is there anybody in the house that believes in the bridge to help you cross over difficult obstacles to get to the other side? You see, the Lord is the bridge, and through him we cross over the river to the other side. He then reconciles us to himself. It is the Lord uses us then as a bridge. First he is the bridge, then he uses us to become a bridge, to cross others over. The glory to go from death to life, from being in a dungeon and being locked up and being in maybe a Honduras prison to being set free and to have liberty. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Praise his name. See, we follow Jesus, who becomes the Ark of the Covenant, so to speak. He leads us across the Jordan into the Promised Land. And Jesus is leading us today, right here, right now. He came from heaven to earth, from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we still lift your name on high. As we follow Jesus, we become the bridge for others to cross. As we follow Jesus, watch this, we will carry the ark. We will carry the word. Let the word dwell richly within you. We eat the daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. See, Jesus is the daily bread in John 6. I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. To which you eat, you will have eternal life. Bless his name. Aaron's rod, that bud, it grows within us. Watch this. This is what will happen when the rod buds and grows within us. We will become the priest. We become the priest. Remember the Levitical priest that went ahead, that went into the Jordan River, and the moment that they set the soles of their feet in the Jordan River, the river dried up and the river became a heap and they crossed over on dry ground. When in the New Testament, we become the priest, church. You are the priest. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, that we were called by God to speak to those that are in darkness and talk about God's marvelous light. You are the royal priesthood now. You are carrying the ark into the Jordan River over the Promised Land. You are the priest. There is no backup plan. You are the priest. He doesn't have a second string or a third string. You're it. You've been tagged. You're it. You're it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. You become that bridge, Bridge City. Hello? I worked hard on this message. You better get it now. I work hard to bring you that point about the bridge. See, 40 years ago at the Jordan River, 40 years ago, they should have went in to the Promised Land. 40 years ago, when they first came out of Egypt, which signifies coming out of the world and going into the Promised Land. They should have did it 40 years ago. This should have taken place. But listen, sometimes there is failure in our forefathers. We're not to focus on their failure. We are to focus on our future with the Lord. Hallelujah. because it's the Lord that is leading us. He was with our fathers, and he will be with us. See, we have a golden opportunity before us as fathers. The ark carries you through the word, the bread, the priesthood. Now you are to carry the ark. Now you are to carry the word of God wherever you go. Now you are to carry the bread for the eater and seed for the sower. Now you are to become the priest who carry the ark. You are the royal priesthood, a chosen generation. He's called you out of darkness for a reason, church. Not to just sit on these wonderful gray new chairs here. That's not why he called you. I mean, the chairs are comfortable. We love them. But he didn't call you to park and sit. Okay, eat and park, park. Okay, never mind. See, we are to become the bridge. You are Bridge City. A city made up of bridges to cross over the rivers to the other side. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go! Bridge City, let's go! Let's cross over to the other side. Why don't you be a bridge and help somebody get to the other side? You see, some fathers are in training. Hello? Sons are fathers in training. Oh, I wish there was someone here that caught that. Sons are fathers in training. Sons are investing in their fatherhood. Fathers are called to lead generations, just like you sang a moment ago about the generations. A good father becomes a good son of Father God. A good father becomes a son of Father God. The shape of your past is relevant, right? It's relevant, the shape of your past. However, the shape of your present, the shape of your present can be formed by his presence. Worship team, would you come? The shape of your present can be formed by his presence, which will define your future. I don't know about you, but I know that I need his presence in my life, moment by moment and day by day. Just like the wedding ring, I need his presence, just like my wedding ring. It is a circle signifying unbroken fellowship. I need unbroken fellowship with God. God has called us into fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Apostle Paul said that he is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That word fellowship in the Greek is the Greek word koinonia. And it means three things. It means to share with, to partner with, and to have all things in common. I need to have all things in common with God. God called you here, Bridge City, for a purpose. He called you here because he had an appointment with you today. He called you here because he loves you. He called you because he truly is a good, good father. That's who he is. And I'm loved by him. That's who I am. And all we need to do is sit in his presence and just let him love on you. You don't have to have an agenda when you come into his presence. You don't have to have a list so long that you get a nosebleed by going through it all. All you need to do is come and sit and be still and just know that he's God in your life. Just know that he's developing you. Just know that he has a purpose for you. Just know that he loves you with a perfect love, and he's developing you as fathers and mothers and children of the Most High God. That's who he is. And all you just simply need to do is just receive His love, receive His presence into your heart. Bless the Lord in this place today. Hallelujah. I just want to, as they sing that song softly, I just want to minister to you right now. I want to just speak prophetically. As I was preparing this, the Lord just began to speak to me. And He was speaking to my heart, and I wrote a few things down. And this is what I just want to share with you, that now, right now, there's a calling on you. Now, even now, is the time. Today is the day. The Spirit of the living God is falling here right now in this moment, afresh and anew, for you and for me and for each one of us. Hallelujah. He's falling on Bridge City, on your sons and your daughters, to cross into areas of crossing, to cross over, to come across the enemies. When He sent them into the promised land, there was seven nations, greater and mighty, enemies of theirs. Anybody got any enemies? Anybody got any mountains they thought that was impossible to climb? Any rivers you thought were impossible to cross? But God specializes in things that are thought impossible. And what He did for others, He can do for you and for me. I believe it. God is who He is in Bridge City today. Hallelujah. He wants to give you, your sons and daughters. These kids singing up here this morning was a blessing to me. That those kids might dream dreams. That those kids might see visions for your sons and daughters. Why not, church? Why not? Why limit Him? Why limit what God has done in your life? The seeds that you sowed, the bread that you gave. We got some birds living in our house. My wife's, her nickname is Jay Bird. And these birds, she has like a, what do you call it? A ring. What do you call those things? A reef. That's like an autumn reef that's on our door. Don't ask me why. Well, she feeds birds every day. And somehow they decided to build a nest on that reef on our front door. The dad and mom come every day. And there's 5 eggs in there right now on our front door. And every time I close it, she reminds me, don't slam the door because of the eggs. But I want to tell you something. God's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. Father, You are a good, good Father to us. You're a good, good Father in the past. You're a good, good Father in the present. And You will be a good, good Father to those that don't yet know You, God. I want to just talk to somebody who's running, that you would run and not be weary, that you would walk and not faint. To be who you were called to be. That's challenging, isn't it? Because sometimes we got a tendency to watch those up front and we want to be like those up front. Don't fall for that. Be who God has called you to be. Just be the best version of you that you can be. Become who you were called. And if you got fear, then even walk through your fear. If you're afraid, walk through your afraidness. I just want to speak to somebody who's afraid of fear. Even the fear of failure, you have experienced a failure to launch because you are afraid to fail. Let me tell you, if you do not launch, you have already failed. It's time to come out of the darkness and proclaim the Lord in His marvelous light. It's time to renounce the darkness and walk in the light as He is in the light. There's a time to sit and a time to stand, but now is a time to take a stance in His presence. Hallelujah. Take your part in your place. Become who you were called to become. A word bearer, a bread bearer, a cross bearer. Hallelujah. A chosen generation. A generation of fathers who really father Not everyone likes the way you father. Have you found that out? Not everybody likes the way we father, do they? But you're not called to someone else. You're called to your children. You're called to father your children. I want to talk to a generation of fathers. Listen, you are called to go further as fathers, to take your journey across the river wide, across the river deep to the other side where Christ is. That is where I am. There you may be also. I don't know about you, but I'm following the Lord, and sometimes the road is difficult. Sometimes there's a weariness in the road. Sometimes there's doubt and fear and hesitation. Or am I by myself? But just remember that God is with you. He's always there to encourage, to build. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete that is there to come alongside of you. Thank you, Lord. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as a father right now, would you just come up forward? Just allow the Holy Spirit, just allow a fresh anointing to come on you. Even right now, fathers in the house, would you come? Just come into His presence, fathers in the house. As we sing this song, come and get filled up. Listen, I don't know about you, but as a father, I need to get filled back up again. Because fathers are called to live sacrificial. Fathers are called to give out whatever it is that the Lord has given in. Fathers are called to be fathers. And fathering isn't for sissies. Fathers isn't for sissies. Fathers is a tough thing. God is a father. And as a father, He gave His only Son. He gave the best that heaven had to offer. And you know what He calls for us? To do the same thing, to give the best that you have, whatever that is, whatever's in your hand, if you would be willing to give that to your children, then God will bless you. I believe He will bless you. I got a message from my daughter, Kyle's mom. She said, "Happy Father's Day. You're the best father ever." That is a blessing. That is a blessing. That's what He's after. You don't gotta be perfect. Just do your best. Good, better, best. Never let it rest. Till your good is better and your better is best. Let's just sing that and let the anointing fall on the fathers. Thank you.